We begin our Lenten season, our 40 days in the desert, if you will, by reflecting on our Lord's 40 days, reflecting on the days that he spent fasting and in prayer before he began his earthly ministry. We reflect especially on the temptations he faced, the three great temptations. The first one, the temptation for worldly things, the fulfillment of our desires here on earth with worldly things. Now, it's understandable that after 40 days of fasting in the desert, our Lord was hungry. That's what the scripture says. I think a more appropriate word would be famished after 40 days of fasting. He was hungry. He wanted food. So the temptation is, hey, you've got the power. Just take these stones and turn them into loaves of bread. Use your power for selfish needs instead of for others. Of course, our Lord resisted that. The second temptation was to worldly power. You know, the devil promised him all the power and authority over all the world. Just bow down and worship before him. Not realizing, of course, that our Lord already had that, just in a different way. Our Lord, of course, resisted that temptation. The third temptation was to presume on God's salvation. The devil is good at taking scripture out of context. And he took these verses and he pulled them out of their context and said, see, if you throw yourself off this cliff, off this parapet of the temple, you'll be fine. God will make sure you won't even bruise a toe. You won't even, stub your toe in the process. And of course, our Lord resisted that. He resisted all three temptations. Now, I would argue that in one way or the other, all the temptations that we face in our daily lives would fit into these three temptations. First, the temptation for worldly things. We are tempted that we can have all our desires fulfilled with the stuff of the world, with the things of the world, with money. If we just had more money, our desires would be gone. Or things, if we just had more things. And of course, advertisers always use this one. If you have this latest, the new car, or the new toothpaste, or the new diet plan, your life will be perfect. Your desires will be fulfilled. And of course, other people. That if we have other people in our lives, or we use other people, our desires would be fulfilled. Worldly power, the desire for worldly power. It's the temptation that if we just had more power, more authority in our lives, we would have our desires filled. And as I was reflecting on it, this extreme individualism, making sure that we have enough to take care of ourselves and not making sure we're able to take care of ourselves, but this extreme of just everybody leave me alone. I'm going to take care of myself. I don't want anybody to bother me. I don't want anybody to get in my life. I don't want anybody to have any influence over me. That's a form of this. That's a form of saying, as long as I have the power and authority over myself and no one else has it over me, my desires will be fulfilled. The same way this temptation shows up is in things like ruling over people, having power and authority over other people. And we see this especially in the world today when we look at large organizations, the church, the government, larger corporations, but we also see it in smaller levels, town council or school board or something like that, where they feel as if I get in a position where I have power and authority, or I can rule over people, where I can have authority over people, I'll have my needs met. I'll be good to go. In addition to this, there's the idea of where I can take power that's not rightly mine. I have a supervisor, I have an authority figure over me, but you know what? I can usurp his power or her power. I can do what they're doing, and I can take their power away from them, and then my desires will be met. The third temptation, presumption of God's salvation. This one is probably the most dangerous because we believe that God will save us. God will do everything to save us. We don't have to do a thing. Or worse yet, God will save us even if I am acting contrary to his law, acting contrary to his commands. The problem with this one, the reason why I say it's the most dangerous, is that salvation is not passive. It's not something you can sit back in your lazy boy and expect God to save you. Oh, God's going to do everything. I'm just going to sit here and let him do it. Salvation is an active thing. It's something that we are being led to. God is leading us to salvation. This is the desire we feel in our souls that we try to fill with worldly things and worldly power. That's the desire we feel. And we are being called to follow that desire, to follow God's pull in our lives. And we have to respond to him. We have to actively lead to salvation, be led to salvation. St. Paul says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. We need to believe in God, that is true, but merely believing in him is not enough. We have to act on that belief. We have to act on that faith. So what does it mean to confess our faith? Well, it means we do it through words and actions. We do it, first of all, literally by confessing with our lips, as St. Paul puts it. But we also do it through our actions. And we do all that. We confess our faith out of gratitude to God for his gifts, of which everything is a gift from God. We do it out of gratitude, not out of the selfish, I want to be saved, so I'm going to do all this so I be saved. But rather, we confess our faith out of gratitude for the gifts. And we are willing to give the first fruits of our lives, the first fruits that we have of these gifts. In the first reading, we see that the people of Israel were commanded that when they harvested the produce from the promised land, they were to give the first fruits of that harvest. In our lives, we are to give the first fruits of our gifts that we have been given by God. The question is, do we? Or do we give God the leftovers? Do we give God what's left over? You know, of our time. Our time is a gift from God. Do we give God the first fruits of our time? Or do we say, well, once I'm done with, you know, work and family and my recreation and the things we want to do and the things we have to do, once I'm done with all that, then I'll give God what's left over. Or with money. Once I pay my bills and I take care of food and take care of kids' needs and take care of this, that, and the other thing, then whatever's left over, I'll give to God. Well, the problem with that mindset is there's never leftovers. We always find ways to fill our time. We always find ways to spend our money. We are called to give of our first fruits of our gifts, you know. Because if we wish to be saved, we need to realize that everything is a gift from God, especially our salvation. And we need to return that gift, those gifts, back to him out of gratitude, avoiding the three great temptations and allowing him to fill our desires. And then to do, as St. Paul encourages us, to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord.